Well, Happy New Year, everybody. I found a list of church announcements that I thought we should probably go through briefly here as we start a new year off. Actually, these are church bulletin announcements that had typos. Okay, so you want to listen very, very carefully to these. It's a good way to make a New Year's resolution of, you know, not to make typos in the church bulletin. Ushers will eat latecomers. Some prefer to be seated by ushers, but I suppose there are others. The choir will meet at the Larson House for fun and sinning. Didn't you all have something like that, Susan, a while? Yeah. Miss Charlene Mason saying, "I will not pass this way again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a good chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Next Sunday is the family hayride and bonfire at the Taylors. Bring your own hot dogs and guns. Friends are welcome. Everyone come for a fun time. Now, that's a Texas Baptist hayride. Smile at someone who is hard to love. That's good advice. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. Tonight's sermon, "What is Hell?" Come early and listen to our choir practice. Gosh. The sermon this morning, "Jesus Walks on the Water." The sermon tonight, "Searching for Jesus." Now, next Thursday, there will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. This back table here is just going to walk out on me any second here. Barbara C. remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. You know, sometimes things, they just don't turn out like you expected them to, right? So sometimes, you know, you put something into the church bulletin and it just comes out backwards. It's a sad story of life completely, isn't it? We have such good intentions. We have such high goals. But so frequently, you know, a typo enters in. And all of a sudden, what we had laid down just doesn't end up being what turns out. You know, I've been a pretty good boy this fall. Wouldn't you all say? I mean, I stayed pretty close to the book of Colossians, right? I mean, the whole fall I was a good boy and we were in Colossians, but today I'm going to be a bad boy. And I want to take you outside the book of Colossians to the 119th Psalm. Because we're starting a new year together in a Bible church, in a Sunday school classroom where our focus and our loyalty is to the Scriptures. And there's really no better place to start the year than to remind ourselves about the Scriptures. And that's the entire theme of the 119th Psalm. The law of God, the commandments of God, the revelation of God, the word of God is that which occupies the psalmist's heart and his mind. I was thinking that, you know, maybe today we would just focus on one verse, and that would be verse 9 of Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? But then I realized there weren't any young men in the class, so that I had to look to another verse. So I thought what we would do is we would take a survey of the 119th Psalm and just look at some of the heartbeats of the psalmist. And what we're going to see is that not everything ends up the way it was originally intended to be put down. So that sometimes instead of writing that you should say hello to your neighbor, you end up writing that you should say hell. Sometimes instead of making a comment about Pastor Jack's sermons, you end up writing something that makes it sound as though they're boring enough to put you to sleep. Sometimes things just don't end up the way you hoped that they would. Notice, for instance, verses 97 and following of the 119th Psalm. Maybe sometimes in your life you're able to hang right in here with the psalmist. Look at what he writes in verse 97 and following of the 119th Psalm. Oh, he writes, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your promises to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Maybe there are times in your life where you read those verses and you say, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. There's nothing else I'd rather do than just read the Bible day and night. Every time I think about the Bible, all I think about is how sweet all the Word of God is. Every time I think about the Scriptures, I'm just consumed with a curiosity about them and a hunger for them and a drive to internalize them. Every time I think about the Scriptures, it's just like putting a drop of honey on my tongue. Maybe there are days, maybe there are months, maybe there are years where that is the feeling and the enthusiasm that just bubbles up inside you. Maybe when you read that, you say, yeah, man, that is me. Or maybe it's like verses 147 and 48. Maybe you could have written these two verses. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night so that I may meditate on your promises. You get the picture of this guy? This psalmist is saying that he gets up early in the morning just so he can read the Bible. He can't stay asleep because his curiosity and his love and his craving for the Bible is such that it wakes him up in the morning like a bad case of heartburn after a late night snack of the leftovers from Christmas dinner. You know, how that hits you about 4 or 5 in the morning and it wakes you up and you just can't sleep. You got to get up and you got to have some Alka-Seltzer because it's just burning within. That's what he says the Bible is like to him. He just can't stay in bed. He's got to get up and read it. Shakes off the sleeping dust, wipes the sleep from his eyes. He's just got to get out of bed and throw the blankets off. Maybe sometimes you feel like that. Maybe some of you feel like that every morning. Or did you notice what else he says? He says, man, I am so tuned into your commandments, I don't want to go to sleep. All I want to do, verse 148, is stay awake with the night watches and meditate on your promises. He says, you know, Lord, I love your word so much. I love your commandments. I love your promises. I love your wisdom. I love everything you say so much that not only do I not want to stay in bed in the mornings, but I don't even want to go to sleep. I'm not interested in watching TV. I'm not interested in getting any rest. I'm not interested in reading my novel. I'm not interested in writing that last report for the boss. I'm not interested in writing that last paper for school. I don't want to talk to my spouse. I don't want to make love to my spouse. I don't want to have a conversation with my children. I don't want to play my video game. Man, all I want to do is stay up and read the Bible. Maybe some of you feel like that today. Maybe some of you feel like that all year round. This is what the psalmist is saying. But you know what? Even though that's what we find frequently in Psalm 119, that's not all we find. Because this psalm is an honest psalm, written by an honest man who is being directed by the Spirit of God to write honestly about the relationship between a human being and the Bible. To write honestly and with integrity about a human being who is struggling with sin in a broken and fallen world, so that the entire psalm ends up being a true representation about a real, not a trumped up, a real, not a fantasy, a real, not a fairy tale, relationship with the Word of God. That's verses 147 and 148, but I want you to see how he ends the psalm. 176. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Let's put a little bit more of a contemporary interpretation to it. I've left my love for your word. Come and find me. I no longer feel like getting up first thing in the morning to read your word. Come and find me. I no longer want to stay up all night reading the Bible. Come and find me. I've gone astray. I've left the green pastures. I've wandered into the desert and into the rocky areas in which there is no bubbling stream and in which there is no velvet carpet of grass. I've left the nourishment of the pasture into which you led me and through which you were feeding me. I have gone astray. Come and bring me back. Maybe that's what some of you are feeling this morning. Maybe some of you are having a real hard time identifying with the psalmist when he says, man, I want to stay up all night reading the Bible. I don't want to do anything else but read the Bible. Maybe some of you can't identify with the psalmist when he says, you know what? I want a couple of extra hours of sleep. I'm just wasted. I'm just bushed. I'm just tired. If I have another day like tomorrow, I don't know what I'm going to do. Last thing on my mind is reading the Bible. I am just exhausted. Maybe some of you can identify with the last verse of the 119th Psalm more than with those portions we just read, where if you were to be honest with the Lord this morning, you would say, you know what, I've just lost it. I've got no thirst for reading the Bible. I've lost my passion for the commands of God. I just lost interest. Other things have flooded into my life. I'm struggling with sickness. Can't pay the bills. I think I'm going to lose a job. Someone else got the promotion. The kids aren't doing well. The guy she thought she loved has dumped her. What am I going to do with my daughter's heartbreak? Man, where's the next mortgage payment going to come from? How am I ever going to deal with this problem at work? There's no way around it. Maybe these things have just come into your life and you found yourself wandering from that emerald carpet of grass, which the Word of God is, and you found yourself wandering into the rocky and bare places, in those areas in which all the streams have dried up, and all you can get out this morning is simply, Lord, come, find me. Maybe that's all you've got in you. Maybe you don't have the slightest ability to identify with the psalmist when he says, I want to stay up all night and I want to get up early. Maybe all you can get out this morning is, Lord, come, find me. Did you notice the last line of the last verse of the psalm? For I have not forgotten your commandments. Lurking in your memory someplace, there may be a memory. You still may know a lot about the Bible. You still may have a lot of Bible knowledge. The psalmist did. But notice, although he is saying in the last verse that he hasn't forgotten the commandments, he's admitting to the Lord that he has strayed like a lost sheep, and his only plea is, God, come and find me and bring me back to the pasture. Wherever you are this morning, whether you are on the top of Mount Everest and you're able to see everything splayed out before you, and you're standing on the highest point in the world, and you're feeling good about the Word of God, and your interest in the Word of God is just swelling, and all you want to do is be in it and find out the mind of God, or whether you're in some rocky and bare place, I want you to know that the psalmist has been in both those places. The spiritual life before Jesus Christ returns, here's the bottom line. I may cheat at poker, and I may cheat at Monopoly, but I'm telling you the truth right now. Here's the bottom line. This side of resurrection, you're not always going to be on Mount Everest. And sometimes you're going to find yourself in the rocky and dry places in which there's no grass and no water, and all you're going to be able to get out of you is, Lord, come and find me. Come and get me. I know where I should be, but I'm not there. And you know what? Sometimes admitting where you are is the most spiritual thing you can do. Sometimes saying, you know what, I just can't stand to go to one more Sunday school class. I just can't stand to open the Bible one more time. My life is so filled with other things, I just can't see straight. Sometimes that will be the most spiritual thing you will ever say and you will ever feel, is just to be honest with God as to where you are. Now we've seen the two extremes. Let's look at a couple of other themes within the 119th Psalm. Look with me at verse 36 and 37. Psalm 119 and verse 36. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Renew my life according to your word. You know what? You can't force yourself into the scriptures. You cannot force yourself into being interested in the biblical text or in the mind of God or what God would want to say to you. You cannot force yourself. There's no exercise routine. There's no time of the morning in which you can get up. There's no time of the night in which you should go to sleep. There are no set number of times or set hours in which you should read it. You know what? There's nothing that you can do to make yourself interested in the word from the God who created you, except what the psalmist just did. Did you notice what even the psalmist who we just saw a moment ago says, I don't want to go to sleep because I want to read. I don't want to sleep. I want to get up so I can read. Did you notice what he had to cry out to God in verse 36? Turn my heart towards your statutes. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Folks, I may cheat at Monopoly and I may cheat at poker, but I'm being straight with you this morning. My heart and your heart are broken. And in our brokenness, we can't make ourselves do what God wants us to do. We can't make ourselves what God wants us to be. The only thing that you and I can do in our brokenness is cry out to God and ask Him to make us what we ought to be. Cry out to Him and plead with Him to make us interested in what we ought to be interested. Plead with Him to do an act of mercy and of miracle in our lives because we're not able to do it ourselves. And so the psalmist pleads with God. Even though just a few verses before he's told God how his life is consumed with the laws. Look at verse 20 for heaven's sakes. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. And then we see him in verse 36 and 37 pleading with God to turn his heart towards his statutes and to turn his eyes away from worthless things. I may cheat at poker and Monopoly, but I'm being straight with you this morning. This is the spiritual life, this side of resurrection. Sometimes you're on Mount Everest, and sometimes you're in a dry and waterless valley. And sometimes all that you can do is to cry out to God to come and find you, to cry out to God to turn your heart towards what you know your heart should be turned to, and to turn your eyes away from those worthless things that you're fantasizing about and in which you find yourself engrossed. The spiritual life is more about asking God to make you what He wants you to be rather than trying to knock yourself out by yourself to be that person. Because only God has the strength to recreate you into what you need to be. And so we're not surprised when we look at this next verse, the 88th verse of Psalm 119, where we find once again the psalmist declaring this, "Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth." But first, Lord, you've got to preserve my life. First, Lord, you've got to make the first move. Remember all that nonsense you might have heard early in your life that God helps those who help themselves? Forget that nonsense now. I may cheat at poker and Monopoly, but I'm being straight with you this morning. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who are utterly and completely helpless and who know it. And so here the psalmist cries out to God to preserve his life so that in God's act on his behalf, then he will turn to the statutes and obey them. Sometimes that's all we can do. So notice this next theme that just runs throughout the 119th Psalm. There are so many verses here that we're just going to have to fly through some of them. But you need to appreciate the psalmist's heart in this entire enterprise. Look at verses 18 and 19 with me. As we see this new theme that flows throughout the 119th Psalm, arising out of the text, like the resurrected Jesus coming out of the tomb, notice how this theme arises out of the psalm. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Notice the psalmist recognizes that he doesn't have a chance of understanding the Bible, of appreciating the Bible, of obeying the Bible, unless the Lord moves first by opening his eyes so that he can see the wonderful things that are there. Sometimes we read the Bible like we're reading a Tom Clancy novel or a financial report from our broker or a newspaper article. Because it takes divine help. It takes divine aid for us to appreciate and to value what is in the text and to understand what God is saying. Look at the next verse, verse 19. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. What the psalmist is saying here is that the word of God to him is a hidden field. It's a field in which treasures have been hidden. And the only way that he can find the treasures in the field is if God gives him the tool that he needs to sweep it. He needs a metal detector that he can sweep back and forth across the scriptures, which will go off beep, 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 and will open his eyes supernaturally so that he will be able to see how wonderful and true and eternally valuable the words of God are. But that's not something which the human being can appreciate naturally without the work of God. I may cheat at poker and I may cheat at Monopoly, but I'm being straight with you this morning. The only way that you can understand the Bible, the only way that you can appreciate the Bible, is not by listening to me. The only way that you can appreciate the Bible, the only way that you can understand the Bible, is if God gives you supernatural insights to understand this thing that he has given us. Because you understand, it didn't come from our world. It came from his. These words are not the words of men. They are the words of God. And a natural person cannot understand the things of God unless God opens up that natural person's understanding spiritually. So even the psalmist who can't stay in bed, even the psalmist who doesn't want to go to sleep, can't understand the scriptures unless the Lord opens his eyes, because it is a strange land and he needs the help of God. Look at verse 27. The theme continues. It arises out of the text, looks like Jesus coming out of the tomb. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. Notice the plea, God, give me understanding of what I'm reading. I need supernaturally open, spiritually enlightened eyes to understand what I'm reading. It's too strange. It's too wonderful. It's foreign. The scripture is a foreign land to the natural person. And I hate to tell you this, but you've all got really, really bad eyesight. I remember one of the most heartbreaking days of my life. I remember when I first got to DTS, I met a guy who was in the Naval Reserve, where he was he had received a reserve commission as a chaplain, and he was heading for full-time active duty in the Navy as a chaplain. And man, that's what I wanted more than anything else. And I remember, but the first church I attended in Dallas, the first church that I was a member of, was the chapel, the Naval Chapel, out at what used to be Air Station, Naval Air Station Dallas in Grand Prairie. Anybody here remember that out there? Yeah. There used to be a naval base there, and they used to have F-14 Tomcats on it, and operating Naval Reserve Base. And remember when you were driving from I-30 from Dallas to Fort Worth, you used to see these Tomcats flying over the highway? Yeah. Man, that was the first church I attended, and I was the assistant to the naval chaplain there because I had made application to the Navy for a reserve commission as a naval chaplain, and that's what I was going to do. I wanted that so bad I could taste it. And that was my first semester, the first semester and a half of my time here in Dallas. And I filled out all this paperwork and went down and took my physical, and man, I was heading right there. I had the chaplain of the Naval Air Station behind me, a full-time guy assigned to the naval basin. And I remember about 4 weeks, five weeks after my physical, I got this letter from the Navy saying, you failed your eye exam. You are so nearsighted that you don't meet our standards. And I am terribly nearsighted. Man, I am blind as a bat without these things. And it just broke my heart. Just broke my heart to realize how blind I was and how many opportunities that was shutting down for me. What the psalmist realizes here is that when it comes to the Bible, he's blind as a bat. And God has to put the spectacles on his face so that he can understand and see and appreciate what's in the Bible. The natural man and the natural woman is so nearsighted, they are so farsighted, they are so blind that they're unable to understand or to see or to love what is in the text unless God moves them and gives them insight. Look at verse 68. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. There's a psalmist again, the guy who can't stay in bed, the guy who doesn't want to go to sleep, pleading, crying out to God to teach him the decrees. Look at verse 73. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. You see what the psalmist is saying? Lord, you're the one who created me out of nothing. You created me out of dust. You formed me in the womb of my mother. You put me together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by you. You're the one who put me together. You're the one who created me. Therefore, you're the one who has to give me understanding about your words because they are out of reach for me. I can't anymore understand Scripture on my own than I can put myself together. I can't anymore interpret Scripture by myself any more than I can create myself. You made me. You put me together. Therefore, you've got to give me understanding. And we could look at other verses. Verse 96, verse 125, verse 144, verse 169. We could go on and we could be here all morning looking at this theme in the 119th Psalm. I may cheat at Monopoly and poker, but I'm being straight with you this morning. You're all blind. You're all blind as bats when it comes to your ability to understand the Word of God. And the only hope you have is if God opens your eyes to understand something that is from entirely outside your world. It is a foreign and alien thing to us. And the only hope we have of understanding it and appreciating it and loving it is if God opens our eyes and moves our hearts. Sometimes, you're not going to find yourself on Everest, but you're going to find yourself in some dry and grassless valley in which there is no food and in which there is no water, and all you're going to be able to do is to cry out and say, "Come and find me. Come and give me understanding. Come and give me the love for the Bible that I should have. Come and give me insight into that which I cannot understand without your grace and your power." Would you make that the prayer of the Sunburst class in 2011? Come and find me. Come and give me understanding of your word. Come and renew my passion for your truth. Man, if we do that, can you imagine what the Lord might show us in just one measly year? Sometimes you find yourself in those dry and grassless valleys, and all you can do is say, "Lord, come and find me." So, Father, we do say that to you this morning. We're broken and we're sad. We're sick and we're weak. We're stupid and we're foolish. We love those things which we should not love, and we hate those things which we should love. We're interested in those things which should not infatuate us, and we have no interest in those things which should be the center of our life. And so we plead with you this morning that during those days in which we find ourselves in those dry and grassless valleys, that you will come and find us, and that every day when we crack open this book, you, in your goodness and your power, would give us understanding of these foreign words, of this alien information, which the natural human being without the Spirit of God cannot understand. Give us insight and understanding, and by the power of your Spirit, would you strengthen us to love it and to obey it. I ask this through the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Spirit that indwells us. Amen.